Do you want to reduce stress and get better sleep? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman with exciting news about an effective non-drug solution. The Zen by Nuvana. It's a safe, easy way to reduce stress and anxiety, improve your mood, sleep, and focus naturally. Zen is state-of-the-art. It connects to patented earbuds and uses your music to safely and conveniently deliver electronic signals that stimulate your vagus nerve, a major communication pathway between the brain and most major organs. The Nuvana app links Zen to your mobile device using Bluetooth so you can easily control and customize your experience. Choose from a variety of signal patterns to find what works best for you. Zen is safe, easy, and effective. And for a limited time, get 20% off the exclusive Intelligent Medicine Bundle. For more information and to order, go to NuvanaLife.com/Hoffman. That's Nuvana, N-E-U-V-A-N-A. NuvanaLife.com/Hoffman. Stress less. Focus more. Sleep better. Electronically. The Zen by Nuvana.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am your host, Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. If you'd like to email me questions, topics of interest, the email is radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Now, if you'd like to make an appointment, we are open, and I'm also available via telemedicine and telephone, if you prefer that. Call the office 212-779-1744. Again, that's 212-779-1744. There is a large study that associates gut microbial metabolism with mental health. Because the gut is an organ of the mind. Remember that the gut, also known as the enteric nervous system, it's the ancient brain. That feeling that you get in your gut, sometimes we call it intuition, like when you sense danger, sometimes you feel it in the pit of your stomach, that's what we're talking about. The ancient brain. So according to scholar Elizabeth Wilson, the gut is an organ of mind. And she advocates for the deinstitutionalization of mood disorders like depression. So to those rooted in the top-down model of mental illness, the statement probably seems inverted. As psychological health has conventionally been understood to be related to the mind, right? We're talking about the mind, the brain, you know, in your head. What does that have to do with the gut? This is what we're talking about. Emerging research into the gut-brain axis, which links gut dysbiosis to some mental health conditions like depression, suggests that intestinal microbiota can modulate the gut-brain axis via certain mechanisms. And this is a significant step in the process of understanding how the gut microbiome might affect mood. Research suggests that there may be many connections between the gut and the brain. In humans, the neurotransmitter serotonin, you know serotonin, you've heard about it. It's the neurotransmitter for positivity, being an optimist, feeling confident that all is right in the world, feeling good. Serotonin, which plays a crucial role in maintaining homeostasis and low levels of serotonin are implicated in clinical depression, is found in the highest concentrations in the gastrointestinal tract. Like, for example, did you know that 90% of serotonin is in the gut? It's in the gut. So it's very interesting, because those with gut issues, maybe irritable bowel or something, are often put on antidepressants by their doctors. You know, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SRIs, to keep more serotonin in play, so to speak. That may be helpful, and that's why. But 90% of that serotonin is in the gut. As well, high comorbidities exist between certain psychiatric symptoms and gastrointestinal disorders, particularly anxiety and irritable bowel syndrome. Listen, often when we're anxious, it feels like a kick in the gut, right? Or if we've gotten some very bad news, or we feel like we're in danger, it's like a kick in the gut. You feel it in your stomach. That might cause some, run to the bathroom, some urgency, maybe some diarrhea, irritable bowel syndrome, right? So these connections indicate the relevance of the gut-brain axis, but studies on the bi-directional communication, the to and fro of the gut and the brain, have been primarily focused on small animals until recently. A new observational study using two large population cohorts of Belgian and Dutch people found similar correlations between microbial flora or taxa, quality of life, and the incidence of depression. So the researchers used RNA gene sequencing to analyze the fecal microbiota, you know, the poop. They analyzed, using gene sequencing, the fecal matter, the poop, the stool microbiota of 1,054 Belgians to study microbiome variation at the population level. Microbial taxa were correlated with the participants' quality of life and incidence of depression. Researchers quantified this through a self-reported quality of life questionnaire and general practitioner-supplied diagnoses. Now, there were 10 genus abundances were correlated with quality of life scores, including both mental and physical scores. Some of these were called Fecalibacterium coprococcus, Dialister, Butyrivibrio, Gemiger, Fusicantibacter, Prevotella, were consistently associated with higher quality of life scores, whereas Parabacteroides, Streptococcus, and Flavinifractor showed negative associations, even after correcting for the confounding effects of antidepressants. The research also suggests that several microbial pathways, GABA and tryptophan metabolism, are enriched in human gut-associated microorganisms, indicating a potential role in host microbe symbiosis. So listen, GABA, gamma-aminobutyric acid, it's known to help reduce anxiety, right? And there are several microbial pathways. And tryptophan metabolism, tryptophan, 5-HTP, this all goes on to become serotonin. This has to do with the microbiota in the gut, and the production of that serotonin. Now, the GABA, the tryptophan, all of this are enriched in human gut-associated microorganisms. So, and this can help the proper microbiota, right? So maybe it's a matter of getting your nutrients, your amino acids, getting the right probiotic, prebiotic foods to help enrich that good flora, that population. So they use an analytic framework that describes the microbial pathways that metabolize molecules, which have the potential to interact with the human nervous system. These would be neuroactive compounds. Researchers examine the distribution of 56 metabolic interactions involved in the synthesis or degradation of these compounds. And then they try to associate the microbial potential, the neuroactive potential, with quality of life and depression, finding that the microbial synthesis potential of certain metabolites having to do with dopamine correlated positively with mental quality of life. You know dopamine. It's the one we chase after. It's the one for addiction. We're looking to feel better. We're looking to cope. We're looking to feel better. We're looking for the fix. For many, it's sugar and other starches. For others, it's nicotine. It's alcohol. It's any other type of addiction that way, right? Or some kind of compulsive behavior that enriches the brain and the gut with dopamine. Now, it's important to note that these new findings don't prove causation, because this study was observational. It was an observational design, right? The research does, however, contribute to the growing literature about the mechanisms by which the microbiome-gut-brain axis may be involved in the development of depression. It also sheds light on why mental disorders, including depression and anxiety, are often happening with gut problems. You have depression, anxiety? You probably have some irritable bowel. Or do you have irritable bowel syndrome? You might have some anxiety and depression. This might even go as far as inflammatory bowel disease. I'm talking now about colitis, Crohn's. Yes, we're anxious about, oh no, what if I have urgency and I can't find a bathroom where I am? The anxiety associated with that, but also because of the varied microbiota associated with those conditions of inflammatory bowel disease or any other gut problem or symptom. So this new research comes at a time when scientists are probing a deeper understanding of the gut-brain axis in pediatrics. In particular, the influential role of early childhood experiences and exposures in shaping the microbiome and health across the life course. In 2017, 13% of U.S. teens aged 12 to 17, or about 3.2 million teenagers, said they had experienced at least one major depressive episode in the past year, up from 8%, or 2 million, in the year 2007. A 2020 study on long-term antidepressant trends within a large U.S. Medicaid-insured youth population, and this population was younger than 20 years old, found that antidepressant use grew 14-fold between 1987 and 2014. Trends are similar in other areas of the world. A 2020 population-based cohort study of 4.3 million children and young people in England found evidence of a continuing rise of antidepressant prescribing in adolescents aged 12 to 17 years since the year 2005. Despite conflicting reports on their benefits and safety, particularly in young people. Think about that. Antidepressants are kind of contraindicated in this young population because it may cause suicidal ideation. There may be a higher risk of suicide in this population of younger people with use of antidepressants. That's noted in the literature. However, it's important to note that these trends may have been influenced by a variety of factors, including an increased awareness, diagnosis of clinical depression in the medical community, an increased rate of antidepressant prescribing, or other occurrences. So, this microbiome gut-brain research validates why it's necessary to think holistically about health, right? We are all one body. You just can't separate what you feel up in your mind from the rest of what's going on in your body. So if you're eating a very junky diet and you're depressed and anxious, there's a reason why. You're not helping feed and fuel that beneficial microbiota that's responsible for those metabolites of dopamine or dopamine and serotonin and all of these beneficial neurotransmitters that keep our gut functioning well, the proper microbiota population, and then translates that via the brain-gut axis to feeling good. That's why it reminds me of a heading in the magazine Psychology Today some years ago, is kimchi the new Prozac? Probiotic foods, right, can be beneficial by inoculating the gut with these healthy probiotics and prebiotics. So microbiome gut-brain research validates why it's necessary to think holistically about health. It offers a way for clinicians to address what was once considered a hidden disease by providing a biological location and bodily connection for mental disorders. It recognizes that mental health is visceral, not separate from physical health. It is an essential part of whole body health. This is a very important finding. The shift in thinking may not only change the definition of mental health, but also how it may be treated, opening doors to new therapies that target microbiome composition through diet, and the use of probiotics and other functional medicine gut treatments, other integrative gut treatments. And for those who suffer from the stigma of mental illness, these emerging concepts may begin to invalidate the notion that the experience is all in their minds. Don't you love that? Yeah, it's not all in your head. Could be in your gut. And because the microbiome, stress hormones, impact gut function, because the enteric nervous system, that's your gut, is able to operate gastrointestinal function independently of the central nervous system. Many of the pathways and neurotransmitters are similar between the nervous systems in the brain and the gut. The connections between brain and gut abound, which can be seen in the dysfunctions that often unite them. Many neurological and mood disorders often have gut manifestations, enteric manifestations. GI disorders may present neurological and psychiatric symptoms, and psychological stress may adversely impact microbiome balance and GI function. So research, there are bidirectional considerations in chronic stress and GI function because they impact each other. They crosstalk. You don't feel good, it affects your gut. Your gut doesn't feel good, it affects how you feel. Research suggests that stress not only alters intestinal mucosa permeability and cytokine secretion, think inflammation, but stress also significantly changes the community structure and activity of the commensal microbiota in the gut. In turn, considering the bidirectional interaction of the gut-brain axis, gut microbiota potentially influence stress-related psychological responses. So life stress has multiple physiological impacts within the human body and may be one causal factor in dysbiosis. And because stress impacts cytokine secretion, which causes inflammation, I can tell you case studies of people who feel better taking an anti-inflammatory, like an over-the-counter ibuprofen or something. It's really fascinating. Now, do I want you to make use of those OTCs to bring down inflammation in your gut so you feel better? Not necessarily, because they have side effects, like causing a leaky gut, like possibly causing an ulcer down the road. You want to be careful. But taking natural anti-inflammatories, maybe curcumin. Curcumin is a powerful anti-inflammatory. Curcumin, certain forms of curcumin, is also helpful in mood. Crossing the blood-brain barrier, that's also important. Serotonin, catecholamines like norepinephrine, epinephrine, dopamine are active in the brain as well as the gut. And research suggests that these neurotransmitters regulate not only blood flow, but influence gut motility, nutrient absorption, the GI innate immune system. Remember, about 70% of the immune system is in the gut, in the GALT. G-A-L-T is the acronym for gut-associated lymphoid tissue. Studies suggest that stress-mediated changes, like changes in the level of catecholamines, may shift the microbial colonization patterns of the intestines and alter one's susceptibility to infection. And conversely, changes in the microbiome may lead to a spectrum of other physiological changes, including hypothalamus pituitary axis activation and altered autonomic nervous system responses. So, this is important stuff. Major depressive disorder, episodes of anxiety and depression may be experienced more frequently in GI disorders like IBS, as I was talking about earlier. Negative emotions, stressful life events, and personality traits like neuroticism have also been associated with dyspepsia, Crohn's, and colitis, right? This is all fascinating stuff. I invite you to call me to make an appointment, 212-779-1744. If any of these type of issues abound in you, and if you have any questions that you'd like to hear me discuss on this program or topics of interest, radioprogram@AOL.com. Thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information.
And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.